Hallelujah. Praise God. Isn't it awesome to be in the house of God today? Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, it is Pastor Appreciation Month, and hallelujah. I praise God. And I wanted to share that video with you because I found it to be comical. I thought it was fun. All right. And it was free. So that's why we did. No, I'm kidding. Praise God. So I just wanted to take this time, this opportunity, right? Because I wanted to say thank you to our pastors, Pastor Shelley, Pastor Michal, and of course, Miss Bev and Miss Bridget, Deaconess Bridget, and of course, and my wife as well, you know? And it is awesome because, you know, one of the blessings that I can honestly say that we have here in the Orange County Gospel Fellowship is we don't even have to wait for Pastor Appreciation Month. Because each and every single day, we feel the appreciation that you as a congregation have for each and every single one of us. And so with Pastor Appreciation Day, I think that it's great that we appreciate pastors, but the greatest appreciation that pastors can ever receive is the ability, the opportunity, the blessing to appreciate you, the people of God who come in and week out, who carry out his will, carry out his work for the purpose of just expanding his kingdom and being the hands and feet that Jesus has called you to be, because doing this is a blessing. Doing this is a blessing. And sure, it's not easy, but there's a lot of things in this world that are not easy. But I can tell you this, pastoring, and this is coming from someone who I was in the military, in the fire department, I've had the ability and opportunity to do many things on this earth. Pastoring is the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. In my life. But you know what else it is? The most rewarding. And the greatest honor that God has ever given. And so I praise God for this opportunity to be able to share the word with you. And I praise God for each and every single one of you. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. 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 And so it begins. It begins. Everybody's like, oh man. I know my AVLM team, they're freaking out back there. They're like, this guy again? They put some WD-40 on the cameras so that they can really keep up with me this Sunday. Because after last week, they were like, we don't know where this guy is going, right? We might have to start investing in mobile cameras. You know, one day God might bring us out in the middle of a service into the parking lot. Might have to go to the karate place over there. Be like, I'm here with a message from the Lord, all right? But I praise God. We have been talking about the Magnificat, right? We have been talking about the song that God has birthed in our hearts, in our spirits, to give glory, honor, and praise to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Why? Because he is merciful beyond understanding. He has grace in abundance. And it's for those reasons that we have the ability to be able to proclaim and magnify the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you know, as we continue this study here in of the Magnificat, that song, I wanted to get into the scripture and I wanted to dive into the very person it is that we sing songs about. All right, dive into the word of God and sing or read about the very person that we sing songs about. And it brings us into Luke 5, beginning at verse 17. And some men were carrying on a bed a man who was paralyzed. And they were trying to bring him in and set him down in front of him. But not finding any way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and let him down through the tiles with his stretcher. in the middle of the crowd, in front of Jesus. In front of Jesus. I praise God for good friends. I praise God for good friends. Because you've got some friends that are going to try and do what they have to do to keep you away from Jesus. And then you've got friends that'll do everything that they possibly can do to get you in front of Jesus. If they got to climb a house, if they got to put a hole in the roof, and they got to carry all of you down on a stretcher just to get you in front of Jesus, they'll do it. What kind of friends you have today? What kind of friends do you have today? That when they had a man who could not move, who could not walk, that they didn't let his disability stop him from receiving his blessing. They did not allow his ability or disability to impede God's ability to bring healing in his life. What kind of friends do you have in your life? In verse 20, it says, seeing their faith, he said, friend, your sins are forgiven you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then there's the crowd. It says, the scribes and Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this man who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But Jesus, aware of their reasonings, answered and said to them, why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins have been forgiven you, or to say, get up and walk? You see, in the midst of God doing things in your life, even when you have a circle of friends who are willing to go through it with you to get you in front of Jesus, there are still people in your life, in your atmosphere, in your circle, that will still question what God has done for you. You see, the paralytic is in front of the man. But the man, Jesus, didn't hear what the paralytic was there for. And Jesus starts off by saying, your faith has made your sins forgiven. Your faith has made your sins forgiven. This man still hasn't said what he's there for. His friends haven't been like, hey, Jesus, we need him to walk. Right? All it says is that the man ends up in front of Jesus, and Jesus responds with, your faith has made your sins forgiven. And immediately, people are like, oh, who's this guy? Who's this guy think he is? Forgiving sin. Oh, but God said, that's just the beginning of what I'm doing. That's just the beginning of what I'm doing. Because you're here and you're questioning my ability to forgive sin. And if you're questioning my ability to forgive sin, oh, wait till you see what I do next. Because it says, which is easier for you to say, your sins have been forgiven you, or to say, get up and walk? Okay, get up and walk is harder. I got you. He looks and he says, but so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, get up and pick up your stretcher and go home. He said, not only am I going to forgive your sin, I'm going to restore your body. Not only am I going to do what they thought, which was originally impossible in their minds, in their legalistic minds, not only am I going to do the impossible by forgiving your sin, I'm going to do the impossible in their mortal minds, and I'm going to have you get up, walk, take your stretcher, and go home. God is not a God of limitation. God is not a God of boundaries. We set those things. And it says, immediately he got up before them and picked up what he had been lying on and went home glorifying God. God spoke, healing came, praise followed. You know, sometimes when we pray, when we're trying to come before God and we say, God, we've got this situation, we've got this circumstance, I've got something going on in my life, and I need you to move, God. I need you to do something, God. I need you to remove something. I need you, oh God, to pour something out into me, oh God. And sometimes it doesn't happen right away. But the word of God says that the moment that God speaks, something happens. Just because you can't see it, just because you can't feel it, just because you haven't experienced it, doesn't mean that God hasn't done it. Because the moment my God speaks, things happen. Shifts take place. And the very world that he created begins to mold and shape to his will, because his will is what will be done. His will is what will be done. And when we come before God and we petition before God, we say, praise you, Heavenly Father, for you are worthy to be praised. You are worthy to be praised. And they were all struck with astonishment and began glorifying God. And they were filled with fear, saying, we have seen remarkable things today. Saints of God, have you seen remarkable things in your life? Yes. Have you seen remarkable things take place in your life? I have seen remarkable things take place in my life. And it's got nothing to do with me. It's got everything to do with the God I serve. It has everything to do with Jesus. And so today what we want to talk about is the awe-inspiring Christ. The awe-inspiring Christ. Christ is not just a title. Christ is not just a name. Christ is a Savior. Christ is a way of life. Christ will set you free. And when he sets you free, you are free indeed. And when Christ does something in your life, the only thing that can follow is all. Because when God does something, your jaw hits the floor. Woo! Are you ready for the word today? Hallelujah. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you right now. We give you glory, honor, and praise, oh God. For Lord, the name of Jesus is the name above all names, oh God. And when we hear the name of Jesus, when we call on the name Jesus, he is faithful, oh God, to carry out your will and your work, oh God. And so, Lord, as we sing this song of praise for you today, oh Lord, we pray, oh God, that it would be only your word that flows forth from this altar, oh God. Lord, make it free and void of any opinion, oh God. And let it be only your word that comes forth, oh God. Because it is your word that brings change, oh God. And so, give us eyes to see and ears to hear what you have prepared for us today, oh God. And let our very spirits be moved. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Woo, praise God. We have been talking about the Magnificat. There's a song that is sang in every single one of our spirits because we sing a song of praise to God because he has done a mighty work in our lives. And we talked about the residuals of that mercy that God has poured out into our lives. And when we go through and we do what it is that God has called us to do, we experience this awe-inspiring Christ. But I want you to remember in that first portion. It was Christ that was walking this earth, and he was doing the work, and it was he who left everyone in awe, jaws on the floor. But it brings us to Acts 2, beginning at verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brethren, what shall we do? What shall we do?" Peter says to them, "Repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And what a wonderful gift that is, saints. What a wonderful gift that is. You see, Peter says, there's only one thing you need to do. The first thing is repent. And when you repent, go forth and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Let's clarify something here. Baptism does not lead to salvation. It is salvation that will lead you to baptism. It is the sacrifice of Christ on that cross, the understanding, the acceptance that you need a Savior in your life and that his name is Jesus, and he is the only way that you can have forgiveness in your life from the sins you have committed, the sins you have yet to commit. He will be the one that sets you free from those things. And it is once you receive that understanding that drives you to the river. That drives you to the river. And once you go down, you come back up a new thing. A new thing. And there is a guaranteed gift that's the culmination of all these things. His name. His name. His name is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not it. The Holy Spirit is not something. The Holy Spirit is he, part of the triune God, not just a force to be reckoned with. No, he is a part of that triune God we serve. Hallelujah. It goes on into verse 39 for the promise. Oh, I thank you, God, for the promise. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself. It's God that provides salvation, not man. It is God who has given us the promise, not man. And so the promise is not for us to give. The promise is his to give. There is no stipulation. There is no condition. There is nothing that states in the scripture you have to be a certain way before you come to him. You come to him so that you can become part of him. You come to him to experience the way. You come to him to receive your part of the promise. For all who are far off. We all once were far off. But praise God for his ever reaching hand of grace. That no matter where we were on the path, his arms were long enough to bring us back in. And he said, "I'm not just doing it for you, I'm doing it for your children. I'm not just doing it for your children, I'm doing it for your neighbors. I'm not just doing it for your neighbors, I'm doing it for your coworkers. I'm doing it for all those who have the ears to hear me calling them to myself, says the Lord." Oh, I praise God for the promise. And in verse 40, with many other words, he solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. This perverse generation. That perverse generation is long reaching, ladies and gentlemen, because this is still a perverse generation. And God is still calling out to the people, be saved from this perverse generation. Be saved from this perverse generation. Verse 41, it says, so then those who had received his word, those who had received his word, those who had received his word were baptized. And that day there were added about 3,000 souls. Everyone loves to focus on the fact that there's 3,000 souls that are saved. But what we don't realize is that it's only 3,000 that received his word. There were only 3,000 that received his word. Saints, not everyone that hears the word receives the word. Don't be discouraged. Be encouraged to share the word. Don't let the idea, well, they didn't receive the word, hinder you from sharing it. Because it's not the outcome that God is concerned with. It's your obedience that he is concerned with. Hallelujah. Lord, help us to be the ones to go out into the world and use us so that people could receive your word. Hallelujah. Verse 42 says, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. They were continually devoting themselves. Not occasionally. Not sometimes. Not when they felt like worshiping. Not when it just felt right. They continually devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Saints, God is calling you to devote yourself to the teaching as long as the people who are teaching have devoted themselves to him. God has a place for you. He has a home for you called the church. And he has called you to come to that place. He has called you to receive the teaching. He has called you to fellowship with the people. He has called you to break bread with the people. He has called you to pray with the people. God has a place for you to receive a main course and be filled. Now, there's a lot of other things out there. You've got different apps. You've got YouTube. You've got this. You've got that. God has blessed us with technology. But those are just dessert. Those are just sides. The problem today is too many people are feeding themselves with the side dish and forsaking the main course. And forsaking the main course. You see, it's okay to use all these different things to receive, but you have to have a place where you continually devote yourself. Because like a tree that is growing, when you pull it out of the ground and then plant it over here, it can only grow but so much. If you pull it out again and then put it over here, then you pull it out again and then you pull it over here, you know what happens to that tree over time? It dies. Because it hasn't had a chance to develop roots. It hasn't had a chance to actually feed. It hasn't had a chance to strengthen up because it keeps going from place to place to place to place to place. And they hear a lot of things, but they don't get nourishment that they need. So God has called you to a place. And I'm not saying, hey, if you guys are here at the Orange County Gospel Fellowship, you better not be found in another church. No, I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is, if God has put you here, be here. If God has called you here, be here. Devote yourselves to the teaching of God. I didn't say devote yourselves to Pastor Raphael. I didn't say devote yourself to Pastor Shelley or Pastor Michal. I said devote yourselves to the teaching of God. If you leave this place every Sunday and you say, oh man, that was a great word. That was a great word this Sunday. Hey, praise God. But God says that when you hear the word, go back to the word to make sure that the word you hear is the word he wrote, and make sure that the word he wrote is the one that has power. Because I can come up here and I can sound real nice and fancy. I can. But nice and fancy doesn't hold power. Nice and fancy doesn't bring change. That's why promotional speakers, that's why public speakers and motivational speakers, they have to pay, you have to pay $10,000 just to sit down to hear what they have to say. You know why? Because if you pay $10,000 to hear a word from somebody, that word better change your life. That word better change your life. But if it doesn't, they don't care. They got $10,000. You see, the reason that the word of God, listen to what I'm about to tell you. The reason the word of God is free is because there is no price greater that has been paid. Because the reason the word exists is because the blood flows through it. From the first word to the last word, the blood of Jesus flows through every single dot, every tittle, every single word, every single space between the words. There is no dollar sign you can put before that that can give you the price of the name Jesus. Oh, praise God. People are paying too much. People are paying too much out in the world to find answers, to find 9 easy steps. Too many people are paying very high prices to figure out how to fix their marriages. People are paying too high of a price to figure out what it is to be men. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that everything in the world is going to be free. No, I'm not saying that either. Unfortunately, we live in a world that is managed by money. And so we have to pay prices to go to retreat centers and things like that. But God, help us to have a retreat center one day. Help us, oh God. Hallelujah. But the fact of the matter is, people are paying high price tags to find change that's available to them for free. I don't need 9 easy steps. I don't even need 2. I just need 1. Bend the knee to God. Bend the knee to God. Because I was an addict, alcoholic, promiscuous individual. And one day I said, God. I said, God. I said, God. I can't do this anymore. And when I got back up, I was a new thing. I was a new thing. All for one high, high price of Jesus the Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 43, it says, everyone kept feeling a sense of awe. And many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together. 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 And had all things in common. I'm not saying that every single thing was agreed on, right? This is not a perfect place, and not everyone is going to agree on every single thing, but the things that they had in common, they agreed on. And the things that you have in common are the important things. The gospel. Who's Jesus? Who's the Holy Spirit? Did Christ die on day one and rise on day three? Absolutely. All of those things, they say, yeah, that happened. And above all things, they said, we can't do it. He's done it. And we need him to do it in us. All those things were in common. But it says that people kept feeling a sense of awe. Saints, I feel like sometimes in the church, we're missing that sense of awe. We're missing that sense of awe. Did you feel that during worship this morning? You felt it. Everybody was moving. Everybody was praising. That sense of awe. But you see, that sense of awe isn't just for Sunday. That sense of awe isn't just for prayer on Monday. That sense of awe isn't just for family night on Wednesday. No. That sense of awe is for every day. It says that everyone kept feeling a sense of awe. Because there were wonders and signs taking place through the apostles. You know, I was on the plane coming back from our vacation this week, and there was a guy that was sitting next to me. And as we were coming closer and closer to home, all of a sudden we hit some really bad turbulence in the air. Started kind of whipping us back and forth, right? And you could tell those who were afraid to die on that plane. They were holding on to those seats real tight. And they were extra high in their seats because they were clinching. I was sitting back, relaxed. I said, it's all right. I've been through combat landings. This ain't nothing. Right? But I heard something from the person next to me. He's like, hallelujah. You know, when you hear a hallelujah, you kind of, you have no idea. You sitting next to the right one today. Right? He's like, hallelujah. You could see he was afraid. Hallelujah. Hallelujah! Yeah. And then the calm, right? And you can see he goes. And then a couple of minutes later, we land. Wheels touch ground. And everybody starts clapping. They're clapping. But this guy that's next to me, he's like. Right? He's applauding. And he's like, hallelujah, hallelujah, gloria, Señor. And I looked to him. I said, hallelujah. And so we start laying. We go. And he's from the Dominican Republic. And I'm starting to talk to him because you guys know, yeah, anywhere I go, I make friends. And so I start talking to this guy because to the beginning part of the flight, just in case you're wondering why I didn't talk to him in the beginning, I was completely exhausted. And so I came, as we were landing and we were waiting and we were taxiing in the tarmac, we start getting to talking. He said that this is his first time coming over. This is his first time experiencing this kind of thing in the air, and that he's coming to live in the United States. And he said he was excited. And I turned to him, I said, brother, and this is all in Spanish, but I'm doing it in English, all right, because we don't have a translator right now. Not yet. You hear me? Not yet. Can't wait until this service is translated in English, not just English, but in Spanish, in French, in Creole, in all languages. Woo, because the word's for everybody. All right. So I turn to the man, and as the conversation is coming to a close, and I see people coming out of the plane, I looked over to the young man. I say, young man, you're in a place that you don't know. You're in a place that I'm not quite sure you have many friends. But I told him the first thing you need to do when you get off of this plane is find a church. I said, you need to go find a church that believes in the living God. And I told him, brother, if you find a church and God is there, the promise is this. You may be in an unknown place. You may not have that many friends, but you have a Father in heaven. And your Father will make sure he meets your needs. He will make sure he meets your needs. And all of a sudden, just a sense of relief. And he's smiling ear to ear. And I'm like, praise God. Because I'm not someone to really just spark up conversation all the time in Spanish. English, all day. Spanish, need my wife. Right? I can speak Spanish well, but she speaks it better. Right? And so, whenever it is that we are experiencing God, wherever it is we are experiencing God, something as simple as a word, as a sentence, an expression, will keep people feeling a sense of awe. And when people experience a sense of awe, they experience God. They experience God. It has nothing to do with Pastor Raphael. Nothing to do with Pastor Raphael. When you're thirsty and you have a full cup of water, nobody says praise God for a cup. They say praise God for the water. God, let me be a cup and you be the water. That is our prayer every day. And it says that they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. Nobody wants to talk about this yet, but we'll get there one day in Jesus' name. I'm not saying you got to sell everything, but what I am saying is that God gives you everything so that everyone might have what they need. Ooh, think about that one for a second. Can you imagine everyone that walked through the doors that had a need and they bent the knee to God and the body was able to say, we got your back. We got your back. Why? Because the seven heaps you see, this is what's left over. This is what's left over. Because my God is a God of blessing. My God is a God of outpouring. My God is a God of overflowing. Hallelujah. This is left over. Because this is what God has provided. Oh my goodness. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart. Day by day, continuing. Not every other day, not once a week, not once a month, not once a year or once a quarter. I skipped one. Once a year. It says day by day. Continuing with one mind in the temple. God help us day by day to continue with one mind in this temple that you have placed us in the temple that you're bringing us to, O God. Help us to be with one mind, and that is to serve you. Hallelujah. Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. Day by day, those who were being saved. Oh, praise God for his word. Praise God for his word. It continues on. You have now received salvation. The people have now received salvation. It brings us to 1 Peter 3:13 to 17. Who is there to harm you if you prove zealous for what is good? Who is there to harm you? No one can harm you because you are serving the only one that is good, God. And it goes on, but even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed. Do not fear their intimidation. Do not be troubled. Do not fear their intimidation. Do not be troubled. We live in a world today where people will intimidate you into silence. People will intimidate you into silence. When you speak truth, when you speak righteousness, they will intimidate you into silence. But God says, don't fear their intimidation. Do not be troubled. But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts. Always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you. Yet, with gentleness and reverence. Saints, we have to be ready to defend what we believe. But here's the thing. You need to know what you're defending. You need to know, what do you believe? And the only way you can do that is getting in your word. The only way that you could do that is continually devoting yourself to God. The only way you could do that is breaking bread with one another and sharing each other's experiences. The only way that you can do that is to be able to be together in one mind. And when people come to you and they chastise you and they berate you and they put you down, do not fear. But instead, understand that the reason they do this is because they have yet to understand hope. They have yet to understand hope. So be ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for what? The hope that is in you. Had many a people come against me for what it is that I believe. And now I'm not someone to tell. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm just being honest. I try to memorize Bible verses. I do. I'm just not good at it, believe it or not. I'm really not good at memorizing Bible verses. But you know what's amazing? Is that when it comes time to make a defense for what I believe, God gives me the verses that I need. You know why? Because I may not memorize it with my brain, but my spirit sure has a great memory. My spirit has a fantastic memory. Because the moment that somebody comes up against me, it's not that their brain is coming up against me. I understand that it's their spirit that's coming up against me. And this battle that we wage is not against flesh and blood. What is it against? And see, I'm testing you to see if you memorize scriptures, right? But no, it's against the spiritual world, right? So we cannot fight flesh with flesh, or we cannot fight spirit with flesh, rather. We need to fight spiritually. So just because I can't remember a verse, just because I can't remember every single thing that the scripture says, doesn't mean I shouldn't read it, doesn't mean I shouldn't digest it, doesn't mean I shouldn't ingest, just let it be a part of me. Because when the time comes and people stand to me, I don't stand to them. I say, God, this is your fight. So go ahead and win this fight, because this is yours to, this is your battle. And the Spirit of God will rise up in you. And you will be able to make a defense to everyone who asks. But it won't be in your strength. It will be in His. It will be in His. And when it comes from Him, it will come in gentleness and reverence. Because nobody wants to be into a fight, but everybody wants to experience grace. And so, get into it. Get into it. It says, keep a good conscience, so that in the thing which you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ will be put to shame. See, the very thing that people throw at you is going to be the very thing that comes back at them. Why? Not because you had a better argument. Not because you were more convincing. It happens because you have kept a good conscience. And you have examined yourself first, and you have made sure that you are living the life that Christ has called you to live. And so when people build lies up against you, they build a case against you. When that case has no truth, when that case has no merit, that case has no choice but to fall on them. And so if you really want to defend your faith, live it. Live it. If you really want to defend the word, live it. Because when you live it, there's no denying it. Hallelujah. For it is better. It is better, if God should will it so, that you suffer for doing what is right, rather than for doing what is wrong. You see, saints, it doesn't matter what side of the fence you're playing. You're going to suffer. Doesn't matter. With God, without God, you're going to suffer. The beauty of suffering with God, the beauty of suffering with God is that, first, you're not going to have to do it alone. And second, you don't have to stay there. Right? You don't have to stay there. The beauty of suffering for the sake of righteousness is that God says, no, that's not where you belong. Let me bring you where you need to be. You suffer for the wrong stuff. Man, that stuff has a tendency of just sitting on you. Getting heavier and heavier and heavier. But praise God that He has lifted us up out of the darkness and said, let me bring you over here into the light, because my child, you were not meant to suffer for nothing. So many people in the world suffering, but not many of them know that they don't have to suffer alone, and that they don't have to suffer indefinitely. Because one day, oh, thank you, God, there will be a day with no more tears. There will be a day with no more pain. There will be a day where we are able to stand in glory. Hallelujah. Suffering, temporary. God, forever. Hallelujah. And it goes on into 2 Timothy 4, 1-8. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead by his appearing and his kingdom. Ready? Here's the charge. You ready? Because you know you can't leave here on a Sunday without a charge. All right? Because we can't leave on a Sunday, like I said, just saying, oh, it was just a good word. No, God's got work for you to do, saints. God's got work for you to do. And here it is. Verse 2, preach the word. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort, but with great patience and instruction. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. I want to share just one more story before we close this out with you. There was a time in my life, I had a member of my family, and he would test me every time I would come to him. He would test me, and he would bring new situations and scenarios to question my faith. One day he comes up to me and he says, everybody calls me Junior in my family. So he's like, Junior, I got to talk to you. And I was like, oh, here we go. He goes and he says, man, you serve God, right? I'm like, every day. And he goes, I got a question for you. I said, what's your question, man? He said, if God is so good, why are children born blind? If God is so good, why are children born with disease? If God is so good, why do children die before they even get a chance to be born? He went down a whole list. He went down a whole list. And honest to goodness, I didn't know how I was going to respond to this. I didn't. He goes on and on and on and on. But God says, preach the word and be ready in season and out of season. And I'm just listening to him. I said, Lord, I don't know what to say, but you do, and this got to be good. And all he says, what do you say about that? And the first words that came out of my mouth, and I was like, oh boy, this is going to be real good. The first words that came out of my mouth were this. How arrogant can you be? And he goes, what? And I said, how arrogant can you be? He's like, what do you mean? I said, you go down the list of all these people who are blind, people who can't walk, people who don't have limbs, and all these different disabilities. You go down this list, and as you go down this list, you think that you're better than them. He goes, I didn't say that. I said, yes, you did. Because what you just told me is, if my God is so good, why weren't they born like me? And I'm here to tell you, I know people who don't have limbs. I know people who are blind. I know people who can't talk, who've done way more things in life than you. He's like, and I tell him, the reason that I serve God and the reason I know is that he is so good is because each and every single every single one of those people that you just listed, he sees their value and you see their impediments. He sees that they have the breath of his life in them, and all you see is inconvenience. The reason that I know that my God is so good, it's because he didn't give up on them, he didn't give up on me, and he won't give up on you either. That's why my God is so good. You know, him and I have not had a conversation about God since then. He ended up saying, and this is his words, not mine, he says, Junior, this is why I don't like talking to you. And I said, hey, man, why don't you like talking to me? He said, because you listen to me, and then when you listen to me, then you go ahead and take those words and you throw them back at me, and then you make me feel bad about myself. I said, that's not me. That's the conviction of God. That's the conviction of God. Saints, I'm telling you right now, I'm not that smart. I cannot come up with that kind of response. And I'm telling you, every fiber in my body, when he was making that list of people who had disabilities, I was getting hot. I was getting mad. But God says, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. Before we open our mouths, make sure that when you speak, you're speaking under the instruction of God and not in his place. Because when you speak under the instruction of God, you need to be able to exercise patience and wait for what it is that he wants you to say. When you speak under the instruction of your flesh, you will not reprove. You will break down. You will not rebuke. You will chase away. You will not exhort. You will fill people with pride. But when you do these things under the patience and instruction of God, when you reprove, rebuke, and exhort, it brings them closer to him, not you. And we go on into verse 3. It says, for the time will come. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires. To their own desires. There's going to be people who want to live a life eating dessert only because they can't handle a full course meal. There are going to be people who want to only hear the good things. They only want to hear about how good God is, how good God is, how good God is, how good God is. But they don't want to hear about why God is so good. In order for you to understand why God is so good, you need to understand how bad the world is. In order to understand grace, you need to understand and go through situations where you need it. In order to understand mercy, you need to go through situations and circumstances where you need it. In order to understand who God is, you need to go through situations where you need God. Dessert is sweet, but it won't nourish you. Dessert is sweet, but it will not nourish you. But the word, oh, the word is healing to my bones. And so we go forth, we preach the word, the truth. In verse 4, they will turn away their ears from that truth and will turn aside to myths. But you, be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministry. Fulfill your ministry. People today, they are turning aside to all kinds of false truths. I don't even like using false truth. They're lies, right? People are turning to myths. People are turning to crystals. They're throwing like dust in the sky and seeing what words it spells out. People are looking to the stars. People are turning to creation for guidance rather than the creator. How does that make sense? How does that make sense? But God says, you be sober in all things. All things. Not just don't drink alcohol. Don't drink the juice of the world, people. Don't get drunk on the successes of the world. Don't get drunk with power. Don't get drunk with reputation. Don't get drunk with your marriage. Don't get drunk with your children. Don't get drunk with your finances. Be sober in all things. Be able to endure hardship and do the work of an evangelist. You may not be an evangelist in the streets and able to share the word, you know, each and every single day. You may not be Alex at ShopRite. All right? But, oh, God Almighty, you are the best person that God has equipped to do the work that you need to do. So fulfill it. Fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering. And the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Saints of God, one day, we'll be gone. One day, I won't have the opportunity to be at this pulpit. But that's all right. You know why? Because my prayer daily is, God, use me and pour me out like that drink offering. Use me to share your word. Use me to pour out into my children, God. Because one day I won't be here. But just because I won't be here doesn't mean your word won't be here. Because God, I've done my part. I've done what you've called me to do. I haven't done it right all the time, God, but I'm doing my best. And that's all God asks of you, is for your best. The question we have to ask ourselves is, what you're giving actually your best? Or can you give more? And I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about your drink offering. Do you have more that people can sip on? Do you have more that people can munch on? Or are you keeping it for yourself? Because you see, I praise God that I'm secure in the truth that he has for me a crown of righteousness. I am. Not because I've done anything, but because I've given my all to him. But I'm also secure with the truth that it's not only for me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Saints of God, are you reaching the people who have nothing on their heads? Who is God putting in your life to pour yourself out into so that they too can receive their crown of righteousness? Saint, as we walk this earth, are we allowing people, through the things that we do, the words that we say, are we allowing them to experience the awe-inspiring Christ? And this is not a word of condemnation. No, it's not my job. This world's already condemned. This is a word of exhortation. Because I tell you this today, if you are here, if you can hear these words, God is speaking to you today. You have what it takes. You have what it takes to fulfill your ministry. What it takes is Jesus. What it takes is devotion to Jesus. It doesn't take a sly tongue. It doesn't take bright character, it doesn't take the right words. All it takes is obedience to Jesus. And those around you will truly, truly feel the awe-inspiring Christ. Amen? Amen. Let's worship.
Generations, so why would he fail?
God, don't be afraid of the world. Don't be intimidated by the world. Because if you are faithful to carry out His will, if you are faithful to carry out His calling, if you are faithful to carry out your ministry, He will not fail you. When God speaks, creation itself responds. And if when He speaks, creation responds, God help us to respond when we hear Your voice. God, let us pray. Lord, I pray here today that You would use us, oh God, to bring forth signs and wonders, oh God. Help us, Heavenly Father, to bring healing to the sick, to bring liberty, oh God, to those who are bound by the world. Help us, oh God, to bring forth Your awe-inspiring spirit and bring change to this world. God, remind us that You have not given us a spirit of fear. But Lord, help us go forth in Your Holy Spirit, oh God, so that the people who need to hear You, feel You, see You, can finally have their moment to say yes and amen to You and receive their crown of righteousness. So God, I pray that You would help us go forth in Your spirit and reach out to Your people, that we would be able to do it in patience and instruction, and above all things, that we would do it for Your glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. The altars are open. If you require prayer, come forth and receive the blessing God has for you. Hallelujah.
A peace that makes no sense, so I won't be glorious.